from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Go team! Chatterbox Video Game Radio in the house. My name's Alon.
My name's Ara.
And my name's Richard.
Rich, what are you playing?
This is the slowest game of Katamari ever is what I'm playing right now.
What are you playing it on?
On the iPhone.
You mean the iPhone that Steve Jobs said was going to revolutionize and destroy all other forms of gaming?
This is stupid, though. How did you guys like this? I have to tilt it at an 80-degree angle of my vision.
Look, just keep
rolling
tilting
forward.
No. It changes.
Should I play upside down? Would that work better?
Really?
Don't worry. The angle that you have to use to move the guy changes over time.
You need to actually...
doesn't make sense.
You need to be held in, like, a gyroscope so that... Yeah, there you go.
So
Rich is bending over in some very awkward ways right now for those of you who can't see.
All I know
which is
like
everybody.
So I stay up at night in bed reading my RSS feeds on the iPhone because that's something it does well. And I see headlines on Joystick constantly talking about how the iPhone
so
is
you're at
the next
home
big.
Using the RSS feeds when you have like two computers easy.
Dude, laying in bed.
Yeah. Let's go to the laptop.
Shut up.
You have two of them.
Laying in bed. So, I'm reading Joystick's headlines about how Jobs or whomever, whatever analyst out there, decides to say that the iPhone is the next big gaming machine. And every time I get a game, like,
crap!
If it's a port of something that was good somewhere else,
it's crap.
It sucks ass. It's some sort of reduced format. This is actually not like a reduced version of Katamari. It seems very legitimate. And it runs all right at the beginning, and then...
Even at the beginning, I don't know, maybe you didn't notice.
This is going at 2 frames per second,
by
the way.
Why is this so slow?
You know what's great? It's a 6-minute level that takes far more than 6 minutes to complete.
Well, I'm
on size mode, so there's no limit on time.
Well,
so this is going to be forever.
The first level in the game gives you 6 minutes, and I played for longer than 6 minutes. I don't know if it was twice as long or whatever, but, I mean, that's evidence that it doesn't run properly on the machine since the clock can't even keep time properly.
This motion stuff is just crap. I'm sick and tired of this motion garbage.
I actually don't mind, but it comes
into the
same problem that Rich had with Metroid Prime 3. Do you remember what your complaint was?
It's terrible.
No.
Yes, that's exactly
your complaint was that like specifically
there's no limits to your control.
Exactly. And what he means by that is there's no physical limitation. Like with a joystick, when you press the joystick all the way to the left, eventually it stops.
Yes, some of us like to call that tactile feedback.
That is the correct term. Thank you.
Now, with a mouse, there's also no limitation, but he seems to be more comfortable with a mouse. But with the problem is that the mouse could go on forever, right? If you move it to the right infinitely and it doesn't lose connection to your computer,
it will continue moving.
It's going sideways.
But with a Wii, right?
Right?
You point it to the right, to the right, to the right. Eventually, it loses sync with the TV,
right?
And it won't move to the right.
And then where?
Yeah,
is
that's
it?
The problem. Like the mouse, like I fell off the desk. I'm an idiot. But with the Wii, it's like it just goes off of the sensor way too easily.
Yeah. So that's his complaint. There's no real edge, and
you don't get the necessary tactile feedback that makes.
Yeah.
I think most.
By the
interfaces
end of
that type,
after
good.
2 minutes with iPhone Katamari, which I think is called lowercase I love Katamari, you're tilting further and further because it seems to adjust its position. It's really bad.
Kotaku has a review
of it, which just says it's horrible, and I agree completely.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It makes me frustrated that they say the iPhone is the future of games, and you know, honestly, it might be. Like, I don't know if you guys were aware of this.
No, it can't be.
Now, hang on a second, though. The iPhone is a platform, not just a device.
Right? Okay,
so,
fine.
Like, what you might not know is that the iPod Touch Generation 2 has a faster processing speed than the two iPhones and the original iPod Touch. So games are actually being written, like, recognizing what device it's on. If it's on iPod Touch Generation 2, then, you know, give your characters more polygons or whatever. So I imagine playing this on the iPod Touch 2
real frame rate. Like, that would be good.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, though. Like, computers, if you build a game that works on a computer made today, it's not going to run very well on a computer made yesterday. And they don't announce that it doesn't run well on the iPhone. And it runs like crap. If I had to pay a lot of money for this game, I would be very upset.
And, well, I'm upset, and I didn't have to pay anything, and I don't have an iPhone. So there.
Well, I can't get the railroad tracks.
Thankfully, there are now on the Apple Store, you can get codes to download games for free.
No, but seriously, if I may rant for just a moment here.
Please do.
Have I ever stopped you?
This is true. I've never really stopped, even if anyone asked. But anyway, I'm just frustrated in general with a lot of these fancy highfalutin interfaces and the fact that you just don't get the directness of feedback that you get with just a straight up good old button interface.
Well, there's certainly something to be said for binary, right?
The thing is that, for example, on the iPhone, right? And you can apply this to the Wii or any of those crazy other ones that use these kinds of movements, right? First of all, the game is running at, you know, some kind of like bizarre frame rate, right?
It runs pretty well sometimes.
Sometimes, right? But
bizarre, do you mean two?
No, I'm not answering you. For example, right? I had no problem going straight in the regular Katamari, right? With the joystick. In this, I have trouble just even keeping it straight. Why? Because, well, I guess the ever-changing angle of rotation is one thing, right? But the thing is, like, because what's going on in the game is not really in sync with what you're doing, and, you know, that's happening at some frame rate, and you get into this weird feedback loop, which I've discussed once a long time ago, right? Which you get this thing that happens in some other games when they don't do camera implementations very well. That's called driver-induced oscillation or pilot-induced oscillation.
Yeah, it certainly happened to me here when it pulled the camera angle above the Katamari.
Right, which is basically, oh, you turn right because you think you need to turn right, but because what you're doing is out of phase from what the feedback you're getting is, you end up having to actually turn left and right like three or four times before you get it to where you want it to go, right? You end up like doing all these ridiculous, unnecessary movements. None of this should be happening in games. This is like a basic interface problem.
Do you think it's all a question of just the hardware being powerful enough to give you that feedback quickly enough?
I don't know. I mean, it might be. I really wish I understood more about the kind of sensors that they use to detect the motion, because I think that it's an artifact of the inadequacies of that part of the technology.
He just realized that when your Katamari grows,
Then you get two seconds per frame.
Whoa, you got bigger, and then it just blurs together.
Yeah, it runs poorly.
Yeah,
to say the
least. My TI-83 can play games better than this. Like, seriously.
I don't know about that.
There's some awesome games on the TI-83.
Let's talk about something more exciting.
Yeah. Like,
do you want to talk about PlayStation Home?
Oh, and how the beta's broken? Who'd have guessed?
What's broken with it?
Like, people can't access it, one. Two, somebody already hacked it.
It sits on your hard drive. Of course you can hack it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, okay, so it's already been hacked, and some people who signed up can't use it. They're like, open beta! And they're like, oh, it's like Metal Gear Solid Online.
Well, it's beta, you don't have any guarantees.
But it's like Metal Gear Solid Online. It's like, here it is! No, you can't use
listen,
it.
Listen, on the first day when you open the floodgates, yeah. It's going to be hard to access, but I accessed it one or I think 2 days after it came out. I think it came out on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Anyway, I tried it 2 days after it was released, right, to open beta, and I had no problem connecting, no problem using it. It doesn't necessarily run beautifully. You get this issue of a bunch of ghost characters, but that's natural to the environment.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problem connecting at all, which was surprising considering the difficulty I've had with PS3. In the past.
Did any of you guys see the Video Game Awards?
No, intentionally stayed away.
No, I didn't. But you I heard didn't? They played some stuff, and people were like, yeah, awards.
I didn't either, but I saw a picture of the award. And
the Monkey Color Award thing?
Can we not have a trophy that looks like a retarded Hasbro toy? Is that too much to ask? I mean,
I actually kind of like this.
I don't know. I mean, you know, just...
Although I didn't realize it was... the trophy until you just said it.
I assumed it was.
I bet
and
those
I just
pictures
made a
with
decision.
Jack Black were the picture or the trophy.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I refuse to even give that thing any press. We've talked about it in the past years ago, and it's horrible every single time. Like, my roommate said, hey, Elon, you know, the Spike Awards are
nice. Yeah,
I
gotta watch this.
Uh-huh.
Get some, yeah.
It always sucks, Johnny. He's like, really? Yeah, it's pretty much just a 30-minute commercial. The only thing I ever liked about it was that a friend of mine got to... receive an award on there once.
Well,
so
man, that's
he got to
fantastic.
Be on TV and like be awesome.
We need to have the first step is an award that doesn't look like.
I think we got a more legitimate award than the Spike VGA Awards.
We did.
The Phoenix New Times.
Yes.
Best Video Game Gurus
yes.
in Phoenix. That
we don't tell anybody we're the only video game gurus in the city.
Yeah, it was on a plaque too.
We
dude.
Are
that
the
was
best.
Awesome.
Hey, dude, there are plenty of video game gurus. We have a
there are pseudo gurus.
Two video game technical institutes, right?
Yes.
Or universities, whatever
this,
you want to call
them. This is true.
Yeah. UAT, man. You know how many video game gurus there are there?
I don't know.
If you're a video game guru and 13? You want to go to UAT, you can do that at uat.edu.
They're not really gurus. They're more like video game dervishes.
Well, they're people who want to be gurus.
Yes, that's right.
I go down there and I teach them as guru. So, anyway, are we going to talk a little bit about Home for Real when we come back from the break?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Have you had a chance to play it at all?
No, I don't know what the hell it is.
Really?
Is it really?
Rich?
Is it really playing? Is this home playing? It's more like just walking around and talking.
I'm so disinterested.
Well, have you seen the Penny Arcade comic on it?
Yeah. You go to the fake bowling alley to wait in line.
It pretty much tells the story, man. Although I liked the Echo Chrome arcade game that's built into the arcade. Into the bowling alley arcade pool room place. But all I try to do is find dudes who look macho and be gay around them, like blow them kisses and dance the robot.
Sounds like Second Life.
Does sound kind of appealing.
Like that's all I want to do. But the thing is, there's no emotions that you can display
other than
of aggression. It's only friendly emotions. So he can't get pissed at me. That's what's great about it.
Yeah. Just like the Xbox. Huh?
Yeah. All right. It's break time. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
All right, guys, we're back. It's Chatterbox, video game radio.
It's moving. So I've been playing Katamari.
You're quite easily amused, aren't you?
I've been playing Katamari, and so I was like, okay, I'm kind of done. I just set it on the table. It's just moving in random directions.
That's absolute proof that it changes its default position as
okay,
you play
so
it.
Okay, so it was moving forward, and then it stopped, and now he's just circling around the Katamari. And then it's...
Okay, please, guys, before we lose the last 2.5 listeners.
It's... He's just amazed at how bad it is.
It's on a flat
surface. I'm amazed
surface.
Too, but we've just given it just far too much airtime.
All right. So, PlayStation Home.
So now what is this? I mean, I look at it. Okay, I don't have a PS3. I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, okay.
It's the thing to make you buy the PS3.
Some glorified online chat again. What? Why am I excited about this? Why do I care?
I was actually worried that my girlfriend would like it because you can go like buy clothes and shoes and stuff.
And then
I have somehow managed to keep her away from it thus far. But it is simply a new avenue for revenue stream for Sony. And the thing is, it's a revenue stream from so many angles. So it's this virtual world, which I imagine is something like Second Life, although honestly I don't have a lot of experience in Second Life. You don't program your own stuff like you do in Second Life.
And you can't program like flying body
flying
parts.
Flying dildos, no.
No.
But you do get to have your own space. And supposedly you can invite people into your own space, but I'm not friends with anybody on PS3 because I don't ever use
can
the network.
You buy and sell real estate?
If anyone wants to invite me or something, I don't even know how the invites work on PS3, but Moalon1 is
nobody
my,
has a
my
PS3.
Username. Yeah, tell me about it. Moalon, like my name.
I don't have one.
And the number
exactly.
one. Because I lost Moalon to some failure a long time ago. So, anyway, so it's this virtual world, and so the revenue streams are this, right? As a user, you can buy new stuff. So you can buy...
new things that don't exist.
Let me start off with this. First, you make your character, and you get obviously a few select, like your avatar in 360.
Woo! Right?
You can choose certain
all
clothes
right.
and certain shoes and certain
that's something
accessories.
I haven't done before.
And then they give you an apartment, which is actually a pretty swank looking apartment on like over the water and stuff.
Okay. What if like everyone gets their good apartments and they only have a crappy one left?
Well, everybody starts in the same apartment instance, right?
Wouldn't that be really funny if they start giving like crappy apartments
well,
to
no,
people?
Well, no,
like,
it's a good question. Is it
we're
all
out of digital space.
Literally instanced or is it
yes.
like in a physical like,
as,
building?
As far as I can tell,
on a street,
everyone gets the same apartment, which is odd because later on there's less instancing when there should be some. So anyway... Because you don't like walk up the stairs to your apartment. You just go to your apartment with a menu And then you can walk out of your apartment, but from there you just go to like the open area.
Can you jump out the window?
No. You can look, you have
out,
a balcony.
Look out the window?
You can get onto the balcony and then look down.
Can I open up the window and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
Yes. So, enough of this. Let me explain. So you get your apartment and you can change the wallpaper and you can move the furniture around, although the interface for actually physically moving things is kind of poor. It's not too bad, but it's not great. Because like they start off giving you one item, which is a bubble machine. It's just this thing that blows bubbles. But you can't place it anywhere. You can only place it wherever you're standing. And once that's done, you can't move it. You can move furniture, but you can't move an item that you've dropped. So if you want to put it on a table, you have to get onto the table. And you can only get on a table if it's a short enough table. So you can't put it on, like, the kitchen table.
Perfectly logical.
Of course. And you can't rotate it, whereas other items you can rotate.
Okay, so why do I care about this bubble machine?
Because it's something that attracts you to your space. So,
so you can't pick it up once you've dropped it?
You can take it away, and then you can move somewhere else and then place it again. But it's placed at your feet.
Okay, so it's like a similar moving mechanism to Animal Crossing,
listen,
but worse?
It's beta, and I think they'll probably fix that because it's done. Okay. Anyway, because furniture you can move. And you can reproduce. If you have an item, you can put, it, I believe, as many of that particular item. So I have a lamp, right? I think I could put as many lamps as I want. Anyway.
But
so
only in your room.
You're given this apartment, yeah. And you can dress it up. But then you can go to the mall and you can buy new furniture for actual U.S. currency.
Okay.
Or so in other countries, I'm sure, their currency.
So you have to spend money.
You don't have to. And I'm sure down the line there'll be ways to earn stuff. And in fact, there, by playing the Echochrome arcade game, you can earn new costumes. You can turn into the Echochrome guy. So anyway, they give you the space, and then they give you a mall to buy stuff for your character and for your space, which gives them a revenue stream.
Potentially.
All right. Then advertisers within the world can put up posters and stuff. Like they have their own Sony-related movies to show off. You know that little the keypad device that attaches to the PS3 controller?
Sure, why not?
The thumb keyboard.
Okay.
Which, interesting, also has some sort of mouse over the... I have to learn more about it. It's expensive. I'm not going to buy it. But they have a movie, you know, like a screen on the wall that you can just watch it.
Do they have real advertisers yet? Or all Sony products?
I haven't seen within the mall area, within like still ads and stuff.
Yeah.
No. But that's one form of advertising. Oh, they do have, if you go to the movie theater or the home theater, which is really a movie theater, you're watching previews of movies, which I'm sure are just Sony
movies.
Studios movies. But potentially there could be ads for other stuff too. Or in between that, or if they show a free movie, they could show advertising. So there's a lot of different methods for advertising in the world. So that's another revenue stream. In addition, you can go to the Uncharted, which is a PlayStation game, or a PlayStation 3 game.
I've heard of it.
The Uncharted bar, right? And it's some guy's name who's in the game.
Is it in a jungle?
No, it's in a bar.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Telly's Pub or whatever. I don't remember the guy's name, right?
Yeah.
But so you can warp over to this bar place.
Okay.
And
can you buy fake drinks with real money?
I don't know about drinks, no. But theoretically, a company that wants to advertise their game, if PlayStation Home is popular, they say, we've got all these users in here, and you can build a setting for people to congregate in where you would then have a lot of advertising for your game and discussion about your game. And you could do whatever you want in your world, right? You could have a concert. You could have movies
playing.
So what
do you do in the Drake's Fortune Bar or whatever?
You just talk to people and try to piss them off by blowing them kisses and stuff.
Like that's it.
There's nothing, dude. Well, there's some arcade games you can play too, which are like, it's kind of like Pitfall Harry. Like it's old school. It's intentionally.
So now if somebody's like at the Echochrome arcade machine, do you have to like wait behind them until you're done?
More than one person will not use the same machine.
What?
So where it should be instanced and should not be realistic.
Okay, see, I thought that was going to be a total joke and everyone's going to go, ha,
no,
of course
it says,
not.
It says arcade machine is occupied. So then we're like, I want to go bowling. And I wanted to go bowling. And just like the Penny Arcade thing says, you want to go bowling?
Yeah.
Too bad. There's four lanes and they're all in use. Four or six. Hold up.
How many people are using Home? Like, is it split by region or is it like everybody in one huge home area?
So I think there's 12 people who
use
it.
Here's the thing. I'm sure it's instanced. And so that there's not everyone using Home all at the same time. There's probably 100 different bowling alleys. But at the same time, what if I want to go hang out with my friend?
What's the purpose
of
that?
How do we make sure we go to the same instance?
I mean, why does anybody want to simulate waiting until someone else is done? Why is that value?
That's the opposite of what a virtual space is invented for.
I think what they want to do is make it feel realistic. And to some extent it is, because it drives desire.
Who's
right?
gone to a four-lane bowling alley? That's unrealistic.
Well, that's the thing. If it's going to be a bowling alley and you're going to have a lot of people who want to use it, you should make it bigger. And, of course, they could make it as big as they wanted. But so my point is, like...
It's a lot of polygons, though, dude.
Certainly it drives desire by making it inaccessible at all times.
I don't... Well, it drives annoyance. I don't know about it truly driving desire.
But they could say it's occupied, you know, wait 60 seconds or something. There's another solution to it. But still, if you're going to do that, why even piss me off for 60 seconds, right?
That's right.
So anyway, this is my point. Three revenue streams that I've found are strictly selling you stuff straight up through the PlayStation Store, selling you a ton of stuff, as much as you want. You could buy shoes. You can buy new apartments.
Do they have a return policy?
No, of course. It's not returnable. Not refundable.
Like, so I don't like this apartment anymore. Can I get a refund?
Too bad. But you can buy a whole big house. It's like $5, right? And if you want to buy a couch, it's 49 cents. And there's some other stuff that's 99 cents. I said the three price points I saw were 49 cents, 99 cents, and $4.99.
Oh,
and,
Christ.
But of course, if you
almighty.
Buy a big house, you're going to need to fill it with stuff.
I so hope this doesn't take off, because you know what this means. Do you understand the depth of the dangerous precedent that the game publishers are setting with all this garbage?
What's weird is I don't think they sell gift cards and stuff like the 360 has Microsoft points. They must sell gift cards somewhere to add to the PlayStation Store, but
I don't know.
This is the beginning. They're testing the waters.
It just seems weird
they're trying to find out are you suckers all chumps
Dude,
or
they
not?
Have invested a lot into this.
It's
a very advanced like facial manipulation thing to make your character. That part's all free, though.
But, like, it seems weird that Sony would invest so much into this home thing.
Because there's so many revenue stream options.
I understand that, but it's like, it seems like, oh, the PS3 is, like, it obviously hasn't sold the most out of any system. It's the hardcore gamers that get it, because
all they need to do is get a dollar from everybody who has a PS3.
The quote-unquote casual gamer that would probably more likely enjoy this kind of thing doesn't have a PS3. Like, if Home was on the Wii, it would make sense because people would go crazy. You could have your little Mii characters.
You can't meet your friends on the Wii.
If you could have your little Mii characters running around in this huge virtual space and you could buy stupid crap to put on them, it would sell like bananas.
Or hotcakes.
But it's on the PS3, and people like you, Alon, and your roommate have a PS3.
Yeah.
Johnny's never, ever going to want to ever use Home.
All right, hold on. We're going to get back to this. Stay tuned, folks.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And I just found something interesting to whine about over the break. I don't want to quite finish up the PlayStation Home discussion because there's a little bit more to cover, but I also read about how the Phantom, you know, that old thing that was going to be a game machine that was just digital distribution, and then they made the lap board, and then it never really released, and then they said, we're just going to drive a Ferrari or something. And, that was the other guy.
The aptly named Phantom.
That was the Gizmondo guy.
But, I know a guy who has the T-shirt.
All right, so then they decided we're just going to go digital distribution and be a marketplace, like the ones that are already successful out there, but with a name that nobody trusts. So you go to their website, which is gamestore.phantom.net. Apparently it launched today. And when you go to their website, first you see some content. And then about half a second later, it refreshes to a different screen that says, we had a successful launch, and we would like to thank everyone for their comments and reviews of our site. We're implementing some changes to our site and upgrading our servers to ensure a more fun and exciting games for experience. Streaming in 2009.
And we're successful.
Hold up. What? Why is it on a subdomain? Like, what if you could type in phantom.net?
I'm going to try that next. But it launched like today. That's when I found the information about it. Oh, can you hear that?
Am I here? I heard it.
That's Phantom.
Phantom.
I'm going to turn down the volume. All right. So... they launch, and then the same day, they're like, oh, we're going to close up shop. Thanks, everybody, for the comments, which we're not going to let you go read because the only thing you can see is this front page. But if you go to the page and then quickly stop your browser, hit the X or something, then you can see the front page and what's going on in there. And it's just I can't believe they're continuing to scam people. I don't know how they managed to do it.
Speaking of scams and closing up shop.
PlayStation Home, is that what you want to talk about?
Well, that could be a scam. And also, you guys heard about the Midway.
I heard they make bad
and
games.
The layoffs today. Okay, so you know what? I don't want to hear this garbage from you. Because almost everybody makes bad games as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and, as far as you're concerned.
And yes, that's right.
Okay, I think Midway makes bad games, okay? Like, I like every game, apparently, in comparison to you. And I think Midway makes bad games.
This is true. But also, you just say ridiculous things out of your butt without
I do that sometimes, too.
All right, so are we not going to talk about PlayStation Home?
I mean, you're the master, dude. You're the master PlayStation Home.
This is our pre-planning right here.
No, I mean, do you think that we got it all out? we just whined about it and we're done?
I mean, I'm ready to move on to Steven Spielberg.
I guess next time we should have you try the stuff before we talk about it.
Well, you know, maybe.
Yeah, well, we don't have PlayStations, so.
You know what's hilarious? All right?
All right.
All right, we're going to move on to bigger and better things.
Super Street Fighter Turbo.
Can you turn his mic off? Can you turn his mic off? All right, it's off. All right, thank you very much. All right, much better. Now we can have a real show. All right. So Steven Spielberg got interviewed on Yahoo Games. Very interesting interview because what is Steven Spielberg known for?
E.T.
It's his movies. The movies, right? And he's talking about games now. And obviously, you know, Boomblox was associated with him.
Somehow. Right?
Somehow. And he's somehow working on a game.
I'm still confused about what he actually did for that.
Well, no, it's like one of those mystical things that nobody will know. Either everything or nothing. Right? Somewhere in between those two extremes. Anyway, I'm going to read you guys a quote from what he said when he was talking about games. And I just love this. This just made my day, right? Steven Spielberg. You know the thing that doesn't work for me in these games? Are the
what?
Little...
The what little, is it, Steven?
The little movies where they attempt to tell a story in between the playable levels. That's where there hasn't been a synergy between storytelling and gaming. They go to a lot of trouble to do these movies that explain the characters, and then the second the gamers return to you and it's under your control, you forget everything that the interstitials are trying to impact you with, and you just go back to shooting things. And this has not found a way into a universal narrative, and I think more has to be done in that area. Now, discounting the flowery PC verbiage that he used.
The 2600 ET did not have any cinematic scenes.
No,
actually,
no.
Oh my God, it did, didn't
but,
it?
But do you understand how fantastic this is for somebody like Spielberg to actually convey this?
We all knew that already.
We all knew this, right? But the video game industry for so long has been attempting to validate itself and to give the player a more dynamic experience by focusing so much on things like these interstitial cutscenes, right?
And I don't think he's right universally. There's certainly ones that work.
Well, depends, right? But the thing is, for a filmmaker to admit that they do not work for games, at least for me, I think is a fantastic victory.
I don't think he says that it can't work. Your mic's off, dude. You can turn it back on, Norm.
You behave. Behave yourself.
I think what he's saying is he hasn't seen it work as of yet. But
it doesn't
work. He would like to see it work.
Even cutscenes that are good, he's totally right. You have this phase. You have this phase of I'm playing the game. Okay, I'm shooting this guy. I'm dodging this guy. Okay, whatever. Now I'm watching this scene, and now you're watching the story, and then the story's over. And okay, now go kill. You know, I don't know, like Gunnock Mar or whatever.
Like, God of War.
Perfect example.
Does a fairly good job of mixing the two, but that's mostly because it takes the gameplay out of the game and makes the gameplay seem more like a movie, where you just tap a couple buttons and then it kills the guy in a very cinematic way.
It's the super cheapo way to go about doing it, right? Because you can't... Here's the thing. There's an intractable problem that nobody wants to admit is truly intractable, and that's when you have a narrative going on, especially ones that are filled with action and have... You know, the kinds of action scenes that you see, right? All this crazy choreography, right? Every moment from 1 second to another is distinctly different from any other, right? You cannot abstract that into a game mechanic that makes sense. You just can't do it. And nobody wants to admit this. And so we try all of these half-hearted attempts while we're all basically, you know, not being honest with ourselves about the fact that if you want to have a certain kind of interactivity, you have to give up something else on the other end too.
Are you sure? Do you remember the Matrix on the Xbox 360?
On which one?
On the Xbox, the original Xbox.
Oh, Enter the Matrix?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was a joke because it had a real movie.
That game was weird though. It was like parts of that game were actually kind of fun, but
yeah,
that's off topic. But yeah,
and I don't know. I'm just thrilled to see this kind of honesty
in that game, by the way.
Filmmaker.
All right, we should turn his mic off.
This is fantastic.
No, I was gonna ask Ara though, because is he saying specifically like this whole okay, here's a movie and here's gameplay, or is he just saying in general games shouldn't have narrative? Like that's what I heard.
Yes,
but obviously that's not what he's saying. Because the way you read it...
I'm not going to repeat that. The way I read it was perfect.
The way I read it, the way you read it, it sounded to me like he was saying games shouldn't have narrative at all.
Well, I think what he's saying is that, once again, I think it's kind of a cop-out. I think he's saying that we haven't found a good way of doing it yet. But this is kind of like...
Yes, we have.
You be quiet. This is kind of like the Russian math professor saying that a certain kind of math problem is hard.
I want to hear what Rich says.
And by that, I mean it's almost impossible.
Can I just point out we have found a way to tell story and play games at the same time?
Okay, what is it?
Okay, first of all, I can reference back to Half-Life and Half-Life 2 because Valve has done an amazing job integrating narrative and gameplay together where it's seamless. Also, BioShock does a very good job at the same time.
Okay,
as a more recent example.
You know, the problem here is that you're naming games that Ara hasn't played.
No, I've played those.
Because he doesn't play good games.
No, don't be a dork.
This is why he thinks games are bad.
Turn his mic off again. Okay? No, that's just totally not fair. Because first of all, okay, we're talking about two different things. Okay, so I'll humor you and start talking about the examples that you brought up, right?
Okay.
So first of all, okay, something like Half-Life, right? Most of the time, it's integrated because you're actually in the cutscene where the action takes place, right?
Yeah.
And so you have periods of action, right? And then you have a period of narrative where you're just sitting around, and if you're actually not happening to look in the right place that you're supposed to, you miss a lot of important parts.
That's not always true.
What do you mean that's not always true? If they don't interrupt you, right? They let the cutscene go just as it is.
If you're the guy that when there's a narrative going on and there's action and you sit in the corner and point into the ground and sit there going, you shouldn't be playing a game.
But okay, see, now
I'm actually with Rich here.
No, but now this is your draconian thing.
Half-Life does such a
good
job.
I'm not even going to entertain that.
No, but the way Half-Life does it, it's not like they don't expect you to know where to be looking, what to be doing. They draw your attention to a certain area going, okay, here's this thing happening over here. Look at that. And you go, oh, look at that. And
yeah,
it's
but sometimes, invariably,
you're not gonna
sometimes
sit
you
there
miss things.
And look
well,
in the corner.
Here's the thing, though. So I think part of the argument you're making, Ara, is that when you take a game, which is inherently interactive, and then you present the user with a cutscene where it's not interactive, it takes you away from it because now you're watching instead of playing.
I'm not even saying those things necessarily.
But that's part of it, right? Don't you think that feeds into why there's this separation?
It's an interruption. Yeah, it is an interruption because you're doing a certain kind of activity and then you're being subject to essentially different kind of activity.
Yeah, and so what Rich is saying is they found a solution to that by not taking it away as much. Okay, so you might not be able to shoot, right? They might deactivate
shooting.
You
can always shoot in Half-Life. You just can't kill certain
characters.
Right,
but it's a clever thing to do. I'm not saying it's bad.
They keep it subtly interactive, and they do draw your attention to it. So you're still within the game because, yeah, you could miss something that's important.
But
they draw you to it, like you said.
But essentially, it's not really different.
How is it not?
Yeah, that's the point, though. That's what makes it an effective means of storytelling because
you
still feel
like you're
in the game.
It's not different from doing a regular cutscene, essentially. It's just a fancy
wrapper. Absolutely different.
No, it's not.
Yes,
I think it does add to the... I want to say realism. That's not the right word. It adds to the immersion of the game where you're still in it.
I'm not saying it's bad, dude. You argue with me on my own terms. Don't make up stuff, right?
All right. We'll be right back.
All right, it's Chatterbox. It's a video game show. We're back.
That's what we do. And the way we stay alive is by talking about our fantastic sponsor, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. You can learn more about them at uat.edu. It's the university here in Tempe, Arizona. And they'll let you know how to make games. So we were arguing festively about about cutscenes.
Yeah, you know what? Like, let's not do that.
R and I just yelled at each other the entire break.
A little bit. There were fisticuffs. I think the argument that Rich and I were making is that you can have an effective narrative in a game. It's different than your traditional cutscene, and that's good, right? We weren't trying to argue whether or not it was the same or different. It seemed to be where you were going, Ara.
No.
Your argument is just that it can't exist. There has been an effective method performed.
This discussion has become too convoluted.
I just don't understand
your
argument.
Is that because
against?
We opposed your argument well? Is that?
No, it's because I said something and then you guys went off in some direction.
I just think we're not understanding
each other. I
don't
want to have a meta argument about this either.
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying because what I took away from it is obviously different than what you intended.
No, it's cool.
Right. I'm trying to understand what your point was.
Do you want to just talk about your manicure or somebody?
I have. I should be like a hand model, huh? I have pretty nice nails.
For Sasquatch.
Yeah. Sasquatch.
All right. So we'll leave that topic.
We should leave that topic because
so
it's become utterly confused.
Half-Life's awesome is what we've come down to.
What bothers me is that you apparently play first-person shooter games.
If you want to live in the draconian tower of
gaming,
I'm
sorry, first-person shooters are awesome. Yeah. I apologize.
I'd like to see you, break out of that shell a little bit.
Okay, tell me a game to play.
Little Big Planet's a good game.
I've played it. It's fun.
It is.
Guess how much narrative there is? None. But that's okay, because it's still fun.
Oh, yeah, there's a little bit, but it's not done so well.
Hey, I got a thing, and you got to blow the stuff up, and then I'll give you a present. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. But some of the user levels
it's
are fun.
It's fun, dude. It's still fun.
Did I tell you we got an email from someone from Sweden about the Little Big Planet stuff?
Really?
I should read this to you. I didn't actually prepare this too much, so it might not be well prepared for the radio, but he says that he has a quick comment regarding the problem that I had with Little Big Planet, which was that you don't have an effective way of getting the highly rated games, quick access to the highly rated games. And he has a similar argument to what we either talked about on the show or the thought in our heads or talked about after the show.
Duh.
I don't know. But the problem with putting up such a list, actually giving you accessibility to the number one level is that it's a rich get richer, poor get poorer scenario, right? Where the people who have the high ratings get much higher ratings simply because they're on the top, right?
Wasn't there a limit? You can only get five?
Well, five stars, but you can get more plays, right? So many people who heart your level, if they like your level, then, that rating is seemingly infinite.
Okay.
And so he says if there was a list, a lot of people would only play those levels and play ignore everything else. That could in turn reduce the incentive for potentially great creators to make levels, or at the very least result in fewer great levels being played or rated high enough for people to notice them, which is what I was just saying, right? So it's an attempt to avoid the rich get richer scenario, but...
That sounds like bunk to me.
But the thing is that it's still the only way.
They could still set up a thing that's like, they could have featured levels that like, oh, this is a new one, and you should play this and rate it, and it gets zero. Yeah.
And they could measure acceleration of levels, too. Like, here's new levels that have gone up in ratings very quickly, right?
Yeah.
And rank that
they
high
They could just
up.
Say so best this week.
The biggest up-and-comers or something. They could find a workaround
levels?
For that. Newest ones, they certainly have.
You know what pisses me off?
A lot of things.
Well, this is true, but the on the... Xbox 360 menu, not the new releases, but the other one, the other category, it's like...
Featured?
Featured, yes.
Yeah.
Why is this featured? It's like the arbitrary category of what Xbox wants me to play.
Well, yeah, it's what Microsoft is featuring.
It's featured.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Retarded.
That's what featured means
well, it's
in
what's
any
big
scenario.
It's what's big in the news, what's... Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Is
it Remix at the end?
Yes.
Because I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's what
Remix.
Okay, it was a remix. So it is super though.
It is definitely. I was right about that from before, and I was confident. So, Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I'm not pissed about it. Whatever. They want to feature a game, then great. They want to show me that Braid is awesome, and I didn't hear about it. I'm going to play Braid. It's going to be awesome.
I'm pissed about it.
I think Featureds... What's wrong with Featureds?
Because it's an arbitrary designation.
I don't think it is.
I love this. Why is it not arbitrary, Rich?
They can feature a game. And
can they feature any game they want?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, and how is that not arbitrary?
Because they're saying, here's our game that we want to feature, look at it, and play the demo and see if you like it.
Which they've arbitrarily decided, perhaps?
Okay, it's not that
it's probably not arbitrary.
Like
they're probably incentivized.
They probably have a reason for picking the game they've picked to feature.
Yeah,
I know a person downloaded Braid because they saw it on the Xbox thing and was like, hey, what's this? And they really liked it.
Yeah.
They would have never played it outside of that because they don't read 8 blogs like I do.
I think you're just being sensitive now.
You're going to tell me it's not arbitrary?
Do we want to just discuss the definition of arbitrary? Arbitrary is purely random.
This show is sucking so hard tonight.
Are they just taking names and going, oh, let's feature this game this week out of a hat, like rolling a D2?
No, D20. I'm sure they have their reasons, but it's not judged by the fans. It's not judged by the users. Definitely it's judged by Microsoft. But I would guarantee it's not arbitrary, in fact.
It's the opposite of more arbitrary.
No,
it's
arbitrary probably, is whatever they want. That's what it means.
Okay, well, then it is definitely.
Okay.
Right.
That's
I'm gonna have to brush up on Webster's.
Okay.
But all right. So a couple weeks ago, I got an email supposedly from someone named Ronald Wagner.
Nice.
And I really doubted whether or not I wanted to mention this in the air, but it's so funny to me that I'll read the email to you, and maybe we can do a public service.
Is he from a soap opera?
No, but he's basically asking for our advice, and I'm hoping that by the time I'm done reading the email, we'll be out of time, so we won't be able to offer advice. So here it goes. See if you can figure out what's actually going on. My name is Ron Wagner, and I'm a member of the Men's Club of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. This is good, right? Off to a good start. One of our members suggested that gaming was a good way to raise money. I have been selected to learn more and get ideas to bring before our board of directors on what would be needed and how it could be put together. By the way, all caps, whole message. We were thinking a fee could be charged and have competition 2 to 3 times a year.
Wait, is this guy from...
He's from Men's Club of Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
Okay, and that is in the country of Nigeria?
Think about it. I think it's legit. He's talking about games. I suggested maybe some of the money could be used to help older people in our parish who might need help paying their rent or helping put food on their table. Students might be able to play against each other. School may be able to play school. I guess competition school against school. Prizes could be like... tuition to a Catholic school, different games could be awarded, just to come up with some ideas. The first problem is what would be needed. Could laptops be used or would PlayStations be needed? I'm looking for any and all ideas to bring before the board. If you could email me back, it would be great. So, Ron, my response to you is certainly going to be on the show rather than in an email, because it's far more entertaining that way.
Should we send them an invoice?
Any thoughts, guys?
I'm going to write up an invoice right now.
Like, I'm more curious... how did he find us? Like, do you think he just looked on iTunes and wrote to everyone who's listed on iTunes?
Is he 13 or 14 years old?
No, he sounds to me like perhaps poorly educated because of his spelling and because he's Christian. Like mid-20s? Early 20s?
Like he's the person who
maybe doesn't
know
about
video
games. Now that you factor in the poorly educated Christian card, it's really
he could
be
40, 45, 50. But he's talking about putting food on the table. That's cool. And I mean... no offense there, Ron. Some people don't have an easy time spelling or realizing that God doesn't exist. But aside from those things.
Or email computers have spell checkers.
Well, I don't use my spell check on email. But so he's actually looking for advice. What would be needed? Well, games.
Games.
You need games.
Yep. Yeah. The cheapest way to do that is...
and you need money.
...is to find the
and
least
this
expensive
for like
console.
A church event.
Some sort of competition. So let's tell you could do competitions. The way to raise money, people would have to have an entrance fee. And then half of the money made off of that would be given, would be put towards prizes to give away to these people. The cheapest console these days of the current generation are the Xbox 360 Arcade Edition, or if you can find a used one with the hard drive. Guitar Hero is a really big one these days, the Guitar Hero Rock Band, whatever.
Halo 3.
Same thing, Halo 3, yeah. That's cheap too because it's kind of an old game at this point. So Xbox 360 and Wii. PS3 I would probably avoid because there's not really anything good. What is good can be found on the other systems.
Wait, aren't video games very anti-Christian? Do they not not align with the Christian values.
I don't know. His email address is at guildmortgage.net.
See, guild, okay.
Guild mortgage, okay. I don't know. See, I haven't looked up the domain yet.
I think he should go to his parishioners or whatever you call them.
I also like how the signature, the email he has in his signature is different than the email from which he sent the email.
That's excellent.
That's good.
Anyway. He should tell them that video games are evil, and they should donate.
So that's my advice.
All of their games to the church.
First of all, realize that there is no God. Second, find cheap video game systems, because that's what you're going to need. Probably any TV will work, but they're going to have to be able to connect to the cords that come with the system. You can talk to your game store employee about that.
And how is this going to generate revenue?
And then first of all should check to see if the people who would be coming to your events are actually interested in playing games.
You can get a money printer. Money printers are very useful. Yeah.
Well, people are always willing to put money towards a good cause. So have a competition like Guitar Hero 3 and say 20 people enter, $10 a piece. We're going to give half the money in prizes or a quarter of the money in prizes, and the rest of it will go towards whatever cause you have, which hopefully will not include the purchase of Bibles. So anyway, there's our advice. Thanks for emailing the intelligent bunch that we have here.
And send all donations our way. We need them.
No, they can go towards food for someone who needs food, even if they're religious. I don't mind. Keep them alive. That's good news. All right, anything else? We're not going to be here next week. Because it's Christmas week.
Is the Xmas.
Yeah, we're not going to have a show next week. The week after that, Rich and I will be here keeping you all well entertained.
What week is that?
The 30th, man.
That's right before... Okay.
Right before New Year. Not the day before.
Electrics. Right.
Good luck.
All right.
Good luck.
End of the show, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week to remind you more about our show and UAT and games.
Or the week after.
We'll be back.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.